Hey guys, I'm super excited before you listen to the podcast to announce a new initiative on Twitter, Gary VEE TV. Is that right, Jim? There it is. Gary VEE TV. Go follow it. Unlimited quality clips daily on Twitter. Something I'm testing out that I think you guys are gonna love and enjoy. If you are looking for more content and more context and more information, go to Twitter and check up and look up Gary VEE TV, my new account. Check me out. Hope you enjoy it and hit me up on Twitter and let me know how you like it. Thanks, guys.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Super, super thrilled to be here with my business partner in crime, Zubin, who is, Zubin, are you president? What official thing did we give you?
That's the title you gave me, yeah. I feel more like vice president, but.
Get out of here, you're czar of Vayner Commerce. For anybody who is not, Dustin, get in here. What kind of numbers we've got for this so far? I mean, I've been on fucking all day. Give me some numbers here.
So far, it's about 1,000.
Beautiful. So the 1,000 that are watching, what's Zubin's Twitter handle? I want to see this happen in real time. By the way, if you're watching right now, if you haven't realized disproportionately where I'm most active and where you get the most information, for me is on Twitter. So Zubin's at 2,077. His Twitter handle is his full name, Malavi. Is that how you pronounce it, Zubin? I'm bad with fucking.
More or less, Malavi.
Malavi. So at Zubin Malavi is his handle, 20077. I expect him to be at 3,000 shortly. Main reason I'm doing that is if you join us for this, you're absolutely trying to learn, engage, understand e-com. This man is a beast. It's why I bought his company. It's why I'm making sure that he's out in front in a lot of our content. For everybody in the chat right now, to help everybody, if you can go to that handle and just post it in the comments so people just click it and follow it. Let's just start right there. Zubin, before I want to go into full Q&A. Dustin, you've got people in the queue? Sure. Dust?
No, we were going to just go with the chat area.
Okay, so people are going to go into comments. Do you want to read them to us, kind of, Dust? You'll come in and read the question?
Sure.
Because then this way we can flow?
Sure.
You mind doing that for me? Before we do that, I'm going to give Zubin 5 minutes on the floor. Huge fucking announcement in e-com land from Facebook Inc. Facebook and Instagram shops. This is a game changer, in my opinion. What's your initial hot take here on Coffee and Commerce? Welcome to Coffee and Commerce. I'm Gary Vaynerchuk, chairman of VaynerX, Vayner Commerce, our new company. Zubin, hot take on Facebook's move into com.
Hot take. Thanks for having me, Gary. Thanks for the Twitter love. So, look, Facebook, Instagram have been doing some form of shopping from the beginning. Even in 2013, we built a shopping app for Instagram. Didn't do too well because it was outside of the platform. But really what they're doing, and it's the same as what Shopify is doing, they're making it far less, they're removing all friction or most friction to get people to sell stuff online. So they did it with their marketplace to begin with. Now they're doing it with Shop. And what's really cool about Shop is, so the problem with like 5 years ago, 10 years ago, is these platforms would do something in isolation, and then you'd have to go and figure out how to integrate it with everything else you're doing for your real business. These guys have realized that they actually need to integrate it. So Facebook Shop, Instagram Shop is going to let you basically post whatever you want, and then it's going to integrate with BigCommerce, Shopify, WooCommerce, whatever you're using basically on the back end. So you can start.
They become the front of the funnel with all the attention in commerce.
Exactly. And that way, as a small business, as an entrepreneur, you don't have to worry about what you do once the orders come in. You get one of those platforms, whatever you're already using or whatever you want to get. Now you can sell on Facebook easily. You can sell on Instagram. And then what you do is you sell on your own direct to consumer. So basically what this entire ecosystem is doing is arming the rebels, as Shopify puts it, and allowing them to democratize commerce and do it where they want to do it, how they want to do it, when they want to do it.
And then they build up the leverage and then bang on the back end, either build their own Shopify, BigCommerce, or Woo, or become a toll booth of a referral infrastructure that's gonna cost those platforms a lot of money in the pass off of that transaction.
Exactly, and think about it this way. You go up to Amazon, you sell your products on Amazon because Amazon has an incredibly large customer base to begin with, so you can sell your products easily. Problem is, you don't know who those customers are. You just ship to them. This way, you're leveraging Facebook's audience, Instagram's audience, what you're building there, sell to them, but all that customer data flows back into Shopify for you. or WooCommerce or whatever you're using, so that you actually control that conversation and that that community. Because what's happening is, like, everybody's shitting on retail about retail has a bad experience, retail has to shift their experience, etc. What I'm concerned about is e-commerce brands and just people in e-commerce thinking, oh, we have a much better experience, come 3 years and all they're doing is transacting, and people churn because there's no community there. What is that experience?
100%.
So all these guys are doing is helping you with the piping so that you can build that experience for your consumer and build your community the way that's authentic to you.
Did I hear today that Shopify is saying they're going remote, and even though they built a huge new unbelievable office in Toronto, they're out?
Yep, that's what Toby said.
Wow.
He basically tweeted that through the end of the year, they can work remotely, and that office centricity, I think is how he put it, is over.
I think it's gonna be super interesting. Zubin, what's been the, let's go a little inside baseball. There's a lot of people that follow VaynerX just for fun, for those fans and enthusiasts and paying attentioners, and more importantly, for the entrepreneurs that might be able to be helped by this when they navigate their own businesses instead of cheering us on. Give me 1 to 4 bullets on things that have surprised you with the announcement of VaynerX. What have you felt in your personal life, in your professional life? What's been the pros and the cons of the announcement?
So I think, first of all, when someone's doing something as long as I have and they're gonna get acquired, go somewhere, work for somebody, part of it is like, what is the culture gonna be like? And when I'm reporting into somebody, I've never reported into somebody.
Right, you were the boss, you got to make your own world.
It's clients, basically. I reported into clients.
Yep.
And it's kind of the same situation, but I think that the culture within VaynerX is really interesting. And I think that people that follow you, people that see who you are, people that understand your authenticity, those are the type of people that you've attracted and you brought on board. So the leadership team, you don't feel like people are pulling in one direction or another direction. It really feels like a team and everybody's trying to figure out, how do we help each other? And I know it's very cliche to say that, but until you meet these people and until you work with them, you'd be surprised. Again, with my limited experience in corporate life, which is basically corporate clients, and that's about it, that's been a pleasant surprise. The other thing that's been a pleasant surprise is access to you. I know people see how kind of busy, I mean, how many of these have you done today? You've been on, this is like third hour today.
Today's been like, thank God I canceled Tea with Gary Vee, otherwise it would have been live all day.
But I think that what you realize is, it's not a matter of having access to you daily, weekly, whatever. It's about understanding when to tap into you. And it's not just you, right? The reason I'm mentioning it for everybody else who doesn't have access to you like this is more a matter of whoever they work with, whoever their mentors are, whatnot, really maximizing that time with them. So if you've got like 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, pre-plan for what it is you want to talk about. Go through those scenarios. If this happens, I'm going to go in this direction. If he says this, I'm going to go in that direction. And kind of figure that out, because it makes the meeting a lot more compact. And you, as an individual who want to get value out of it, get a shitload more value than if you just go into a one-on-one with Gary and go, okay, how's life?
Anything else stand out? What about from the outside market?
So from the outside market, look, everybody who's tuning in right now, everybody who's anywhere in the world realizes that they're ordering far more products online than they ever did. I think what's really interesting is we've been working with clients, trying to get a lot of food and beverage CPG clients online, a lot of large ones, a lot of smaller ones. And there's always been this concern about, are people going to order these things online? Do people want to order olive oil? Do they want to order water? Do they want to order all these things? And the reality is that they are ordering it. I mean, if you look at what Bizarre Voice just posted, like, food and beverage is up 66% year over year, April of this year, April of last year. So this is happening. It's really a matter of, who do you partner with? If you're an entrepreneur, what kind of product do you want to take to market? What makes sense? And I think, obviously, just e-commerce is blowing up. You see it. You just look at Shopify's stock price being 500% or 50% up over the last month. I mean, it's ridiculous, but there's a reason, right? And it's a matter of, there's a lot
Dustin,
of opportunity.
Get ready for questions. Keep going, Bruce. Go ahead.
There's a lot of opportunity, and it's just a matter of figuring out what you care about, because it's no longer a matter of, this product that I'm thinking of, does e-commerce make sense for it? How do I take it to market? Whatever. You pretty much sell anything online right now. So what is it that you care about, and do that?
Zubin, great setup, brother. I appreciate you. Let's get right into questions. I want to bring as much value here as possible.
Let's do it.
Where's a good place to start with e-commerce learning and application?
Where you started the whole conversation, Twitter. I think there's so much value in Twitter. Honestly, that's the fourth bullet. I wasn't even on Twitter until I joined. I mean, I was on Twitter, but I just wasn't tweeting as much. I've been on Twitter and it's become my news source, my education source, my content, everything. I mean, it's amazing the topics that you can follow and how deep you can get and the relationships that you can build. I mean, I've been messaging people that I've followed for years. They've been responding, like Vala Afshar from Salesforce. Great guy. Responded. I had such an amazing conversation, learned so much from him. And it's like that sort of, I think that's a great place to start. Yeah, there are tutorials online and things like that. But really start there.
There's only two places that you can really kind of get me. It's my 212-931-5731 text platform. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of you saw some people on Twitch asking, do I reply to, I do. It's just I'm getting 20,000 a day. And Twitter, I'm just constantly there. I've been there for 13 years, just constantly there. I'm glad to see you jumping on it. And I'm glad I pushed a lot of people towards you because I do agree with you. I think for the e-commerce kind of community, it's the place to be. Let's keep moving it.
Yeah.
You can read this one, Zubin.
So how would you see a mom and pop shop capitalizing with homemade ice cream, not just shipping? That's a great question.
Vicky, I told you shipping. I've spoken to Vicky on this with Tea with Gary V. Vicky, I love you. You're always here. Vicky, like, you gotta ship. You gotta ship. Like, I understand, I love you, and by the way, I love your avatar. Vicky, you gotta figure it out. Premium shipping. You have such incredible ice cream. You know, there's local delivery. Use Uber Eats, DoorDash, fine. Like, do that thing. But, like, Vicky, you gotta get your product out there. It can't be at the storefront. I know you made the investment. I know you're getting destroyed by this time. But you've gotta figure out how to ship this product or get it picked up and delivered. Simple as that, period, end of story. You can't get away from, you can't double down on a distribution model that is flawed. And right now a retail distribution model is flawed, especially during COVID, when you're missing your peak season for ice cream in Florida. Let's move it forward. While we're waiting for Dustin, Zubin, what are you thinking about from commerce and content? I had a great meeting with the Squarespace CMO yesterday. She was pontificating. I appreciated a lot of her thoughts. What's your thoughts on that?
So I think that, look, the low-hanging fruit, obviously, depending on what you do, is your blog posts, recipes, all sorts of stuff like that, and making them shoppable. But I think the one area that isn't tapped into much at all is audio. And the audio experience, like you go into an Abercrombie and Fitch, right? Physical store, there's music playing, there's a vibe. You leave that, you lose that vibe. That vibe needs to carry on with you. And I think on e-commerce as well, being able to capitalize on that and take those experiences outside of the site, I think could be a really cool experiment.
Drop shipping, Zubin. Obviously I'll answer it as well because they put hashtag Gary. Thank you, Zachary T. What's your thoughts on it, Zoobs?
Dropshipping is interesting. Like, it's super low-hanging fruit if you're going to get into selling products and understanding the economics of e-commerce. I think it's a good idea. The problem with it, I think, is just, again, back to the economics of it. Like, what are you getting? How much is it going to cost you? What are your margins? Because the problem is when you work with, in a dropshipping world, your margins are slim. So what you can do in terms of manufacturing your own product and selling it and being able to build a community and whatnot, there's a lot of opportunity there. Dropshipping is great if you find an underserved, non-commoditized, non-saturated market. What do you think, Gary?
Yeah, I think that's right. It's an arbitrage game. Like, if you're gonna dropship, you've gotta find diamonds in the rough, otherwise you're commoditized and you'll lose. So I love dropshipping. It's a great place to start for people that don't have the funds, but it is a very, very, very vulnerable spot because you're not in control of all of the leverage points and infrastructure, and you've got to figure that out. What platform do you recommend for e-commerce first? Shopify, WooCommerce, etc.
I mean, I'm partial to Shopify. The reason why I mentioned Shopify is because obviously we've been working on Shopify, but we worked on other platforms in the past, and we realized the forward progression of Shopify. So the problem with a lot of these platforms is you start, you get to a certain size, and now you gotta shift and go somewhere else. With Shopify Plus and whatnot, it's literally a button that upgrades you. You don't have to go back and build your entire thing over. And they're investing a significant amount of money, effort, into not only their platform, but the ecosystem. So like they're doing delivery now, so you can basically do local delivery. So you can sell your products everywhere in the world and you live in a certain town or a certain region and those orders come in differently and you can locally deliver those. So it just gives you a lot of scale, but also brings you much closer to the community.
Real quick, I see a lot of people randomly stumbling on this as people share. Thank you for everybody in the community that's sharing, retweeting, reposting on LinkedIn, Twitch, Facebook, all that. I'm Gary Vaynerchuk, I'm the chairman of VaynerX. This is Zubin. He is the president of Vayner Commerce. We do something called Coffee and Commerce, except neither one of us are drinking coffee. We're supposed to be, but I've been fucking crazy today. We're just talking about the e-commerce landscape. You can ask your questions in any chat you're on. And here's Tucker's question. My sports startup, Caper Network, got KO'd by the virus. I raised $200,000 and we were close to going bankrupt. And we are close to going bankrupt. Any advice on how to handle running a sports website with no sports? Tucker, I think that the only thing you can do is go into being very, very, very creative in talking about sports with no live sports. But the reality is that sometimes these things happen in business. This is why it happens. You know, some people bought 5,000 horses the day before the car was invented. I know a lot of people that, I have a friend who has a successful, massively successful restaurant chain, top 10 in the country. He just bought out his partner who was the lame duck. And it's been a huge issue for him. He finally saved up enough money to buy out the partner so he can really explode. And then this happened. This is business, you know, like this is the reality of it. And so you could talk about sports that happened, but the reality is sports aren't happening. And when you raise that little amount of money and you burn, the biggest thing you have to do is kill your burn. You know, like hopefully you're not spending money, but other than that, that's just real life. Zubin?
Totally agree. I think the last point is what I was gonna mention in terms of that burn. Like what can you do right now to cut all your costs to just stay?
Stay alive.
Get
cutting
as much,
cutting off your leg in a forest when a tree falls on it so that you stay alive. And who wants to not have one leg, but wouldn't you rather be alive? Can you afford to move back in with your parents and not pay yourself a salary? A lot of people are literally wasting money as they're going out of business. You need to stop all spend. Problem was, Zubin, too many people were wasting money with a little bit of money to begin with. And that was always what I was talking about with raising capital. You know, raising money is, you know, just, anyway, let's keep it going. Dustin, what else you got, brother? You can read this one, Zoop.
So how can banks leverage this opportunity of e-commerce growing and the payment industry revolutionizing? Example, companies like Apple are making an ecosystem, buy an Apple product, pay with Apple Pay, becoming a threat to banks.
Oh yeah. Banks better be real careful. Google, Amazon, and Apple are coming for your fucking money. Yes.
Not to mention Shopify.
Not to mention everybody. Whoever's in front of the customer wins. Yep. And so banks need to wake up quick.
Well, just 2 cents on the matter. I think somebody who operated a small business, most banks didn't give us a lot of love, right? And then what you realize is that you need the banks need you, but they're not gonna lend you as much as you need to do whatever you need to do. And then they disproportionately give money to large organizations. And I understand it's a credit risk issue, but industry's changing and there's access to capital in other places. So banks gotta get with it.
What do you think about the potential for digital marketing and cybersecurity to make sure that advertising are genuine? Richard, I think we're all kind of begging for blockchain and other things to come along to prove shit was seen. But as a current marketer, you can prove that shit was seen by the results on your actual business instead of looking at reports and Excel and awards and headlines. And so, yes, and I know where you're going and technology will catch up. I believe eventually people are gonna swallow chips and will be able to prove everything they see because they'll be rewarded for swallowing the chips. Now that's 100 years away maybe, but like, yes, I'm a fan of that. And I think, you know, but the reality is there's always the cats and dogs, right? There's always the robbers and the cops. Like as soon as there's a technology to prove it, people are gonna figure out how to manipulate it and there'll be a forever game. Zubin?
Financials don't lie, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So business fundamentals.
Reports do.
Yeah, reports do, yeah. But at the end of the day, you look at your accounting system, if it's correct, and you realize what is coming in and what's going out. And at the end of the day, regardless of how you want to slice this, how you want to do attribution, whatever you want to do, there are eight-figure businesses that we work with that have zero attribution. And literally what they do is they say, we're spending this much a month and we're making this much a month and we're fine with it. That's not to say it's the right way to do it, but it works for them because they're it cash flow.
They're in their business. They know their business. Zubin, Wix, people bringing up Wix. I don't have a lot of experience. Any experience from your end?
No, I think Wix for building websites, Wix is great. Squarespace is actually fantastic as well. So you start a site from the beginning. I love Squarespace. When friends and family ask me to do something for them, Squarespace is my go-to. But Wix is great too. It's just really, I think people focus too much on what they're starting with. Just put something out there. Spend a little bit of time, figure out how you want to do it. Put it out there. You can pivot. Don't worry about the fact that you've invested 40 hours or 80 hours to build your Wix site and you're going to have to redo it in a year on Squarespace or on whatever it is. It's 40, 80 hours. It's not a big deal. You're going to spend more time doing nothing and trying to deliberate whether you should do Wix or Squarespace than actually just putting it out there and doing whatever you want to do. But both of those are good options.
Let's keep it going. You can read this one. Abel Franco, my middle school buddy. I love this.
What is the most key thing in turning browsers into buyers?
Abel, I think the biggest thing is to actually be good at merchandising. Like, is it sexy for the target audience? You know, adjectives, copywriting, images, like the reality, there's two folds. There's how you got them in, the context of how you got them in, and then what do they see when they get there? I think that actually selling, once you've got them, really getting people excited about what you've got to offer. This, you know, why is winetext.com, Dustin, winetext.com, why is winetext.com doing so well? Watch this, Zubin, you're gonna like this. Why is winetext.com doing so well? It's because I'm writing the copy. And when I tell you that if you drink this wine, you will win $1 billion in the lotto the next day, or that, and that's a joke, but let me give you a real one. This wine will fly off this text service today faster than Cabbage Patch Kids in 1984. That's gonna make people laugh, smile. It's merchandising. To, you know, yesterday's Brunello, I talked about Father's Day because it was a $70 wine for $30. And who doesn't want to look better? Who doesn't want their dad to think they spent 70 when they spent 30? It's copy, it's images, it's true merchandising. Zubin?
And it's a frictionless experience. WineText is the easiest purchase experience you'll ever make. You subscribe once and you respond to a text and you're automatically charged and it ships to you. So look, you want to turn them into a buyer, to Gary's point, why did they come?
What's in it for them?
What's in it for them? And why buy from you instead of going to Amazon or from somebody else? And you got to give them something, right? Whether it's sampling, whether it's advanced access, what you're giving them with WineText is access to something that's limited.
And education.
Great deal.
Education.
Yeah, and education.
You know, one of the things that I've done with WineText that I've learned from my 20 years is let's not just make this a deal of the day site like Groupon. Let's make this something that helps people learn more about wine because everybody, the thousands and thousands that are watching right now are completely intimidated by not knowing wines, and I'm helping them expand their palates.
Look at what happens when you post on Twitter and you say, send me a photo of your wine or what are you drinking tonight or whatnot. And you spend the time to respond to nearly all of those people.
Because I like seeing what people are drinking, I learn.
And you're engaged with your community.
Because I give a fuck. Go figure. Is it a good idea to create a branded store for a short term only just to flip it?
If you can flip it,
Yeah, like Phil, and if it's ROI positive, right? If you're only doing it for 3 weeks, but you think the hour or the $500 is worth it, it's always just an arbitrage of the value exchange.
One thing I'll say is go online, figure out why people buy direct-to-consumer brands, or even just Shopify has an ecosystem for this, reselling sites, and just go figure out why they buy it so that you maximize for those KPIs. Because people are smart. They're not just going to buy you something because you have $5,000 in sales in 90 days. They're going to give you what that's worth. So how to build those KPIs in your favor.
I love that. You can read this one, Soups.
Pearl Gupta, how to convert a liability into an asset meanwhile facing and dealing with e-commerce for the first time? You can take that one.
I mean, to me, that's mindset. Like, to me, you find what you're looking for in life. If you think something's a problem, it's a problem. If you think something's an opportunity, it's an opportunity. I think, Pearl, to answer your question, you just decide. You literally, as a human, decide this is a good thing, not a bad thing, because it's a one step backwards, three steps forward. I think it's a mental switch. My greatest strength in business is I'm unemotional. I don't care if somebody rips me off. I don't care if somebody hurts my feelings. I'm just completely focused on the fucking game. And so the ability to switch perspective and be empathetic to the liability is very real for me. And so I believe this is just a mental decision on your end, Pearl. I really believe that. And because if it's a financial one, you just fucking switch it. You're in control. You can fire them. You can fire your best friend. You can change your relationship with that customer. You can fire clients. You're in control. Z says, as a millennial, how do you position yourself as an e-commerce specialist to help mom and pop shops transition online? I'll answer that real quick from my perspective, by actually being a specialist. You know, Z, everyone's trying to fake the funk. Like, do you actually fucking know what you're talking about? Because good news, if you do, then you will. I looked at a million companies before I bought Zubin's. Zubin's actually knew what the fuck they were doing. Zubin, thoughts?
Yeah, that... totally. And put out your expertise. Show people that you're an expert. Start writing about this stuff. Go to Twitter, go post on places and demonstrate your expertise, and they're going to flock towards you. Look, there's going to be a significant demand, and it's going to stop anytime soon, of small SMBs, mom pop shops looking to sell products online. So be where they are.
Let's get some Twitch questions up here, Dustin. That JLJ, a lot of these people are going crazy. I want to get a Twitch question up here. That's exactly right. If an entrepreneur is just starting out on e-com agency, then how can he benefit from this e-commerce boom? Sparsh, you've already benefited. The boom is up, so now go attack. But the last two questions need to speak about actual skill. I've been doing e-com since 1996. I promise you this, when I sat down with Zubin for the first time, I saw it in your face, Zubin, and I had the same reaction to your humanity. I loved you as an EQ guy, and I'm like, this is my fucking guy. I think that what I took away, and you might have mentioned this, so maybe I'm leading the question, but I think you were surprised by how much of a practitioner and how much I knew what the fuck I was doing at this moment, not just I did it 7 years ago and I've been fucking on stage for 13 years.
Yeah, because people only see you for bits, right? Like, we're answering questions for 2 minutes. When do they actually get a deep dive into understanding how you run your businesses and why you run them that way and what you've done? And they really don't get that. That could be a show in of itself.
Have you had friends or like former employees or clients be like, what's he really like? Is he kind of like...
everyone. Yeah. Literally everyone.
And what's your go-to? I really want to bring value for everybody watching. I'm just genuinely curious, and don't try to be nice to me. Like, I'm really genuinely curious.
My go-to is that you are a lot more focused than I anticipated, right? Because you're kind of all over the place online, answering this question, that one, whatever.
Right.
You're a lot more focused. And honestly, in the time that we've spent together for the last couple of years we've known each other, really authentic and genuine. And I think that's what people maybe don't get.
They're scared to believe it, right? They're scared to believe it. They're like,
because other people
he can't be
like
real.
That. Yeah. Yeah. And they're like, oh, he's a motivational speaker or this, that, the other. Well, he hates people, but not because he's a speaker. He actually has a massive organization that's doing well because of his team's expertise.
We're going to wrap up. Wayne, how can I sell monetized tools when it comes to e-commerce? I'm talking about how people sold shovels during the gold rush. That's exactly right, Wayne. Thoughts? I mean, that's what Zubin did, by the way. That's why I bought Zubin's company for real money.
Yeah, Wayne, that's a really good question. And get on the platforms, not just Shopify, not just WooCommerce, Magento, Salesforce, whatever it is. Get on those app stores. Get on there, promote your stuff, and start to sell your shovels to everybody. Because if they're good shovels, they're going to start using them. 100%. And give them away for free for a little bit of time to get some traction and testimonials.
And engage in community talks. Twitter is vibrant. On that note, I've only noticed 100 people follow Zubin. It's a huge fundamental mistake. This guy is generous. He's a great human. He's gonna have to hire 100 people in next year. This is a huge opportunity. Let's throw up his Twitter handle one more time. As we wrap up here, I promise you, one of the better things you can do if you give a shit about e-commerce is follow this thought leader, follow this nice human, follow this executor, and follow somebody who's in my ecosystem who's gonna extract value, and I'm gonna extract value. I think it's a real play. We appreciate everybody who joined Coffee and Commerce today. We appreciate the questions. And Zubin, I appreciate your humanity, not only your actual expertise. There was a lot of questions, and we see it all the time, of quote unquote faking the funk. I appreciate the years. How long did you have your company?
20 years.
That's all we can wrap up with. 20 years before the transaction to come into this world. He fucking worked it. Grind by grind, stone by stone, with all sorts of former partners, this and that. I admire him a lot. I highly recommend you follow this man on Twitter. His game is upped heavily there. And the e-com world, the Web Smiths, the founders, there's just so many out there, so many good people. Get into the Twitter ecosystem if you care about e-commerce. The generosity of information is absurd. Zubin, final shots, go to you.
Thank you. Thanks for all the love. You're going to start a product. You want to sell something. Everybody wants to do it right now. Do it. And in the spirit of humanity, do something that elevates the human spirit. If you're going to do something good. Be good. Be well. Do good.
Peace. Oh, this account. Follow it. We're leaving. This is it. We're leaving. Thanks, love you, bro. We're leaving.
See ya.
As we end today's podcast, I want to give a huge shout out to the people. You know, it's so funny. People that leave reviews and written reviews of this podcast on Apple, Spotify, and all the other platforms just mean the world to me. You've taken an extra 13 to 95 seconds to show love and also give context to people of why this is a worthwhile podcast. So I appreciate that so much. And even more fun, because I think we all love a little cosign or a shout out or a little awareness. I'm going to have the team give a couple of shout outs daily on our favorite reviews. So take it away. Which were our favorites this week?
Thanks, Gary. Today's highlighted review is Words with Depth by Brittany Lynn.
Today's highlighted review is Tea with Gary V by Flip D Script. Lots of great gems of value to start your life from zero, but you have to work hard and whatever leads you to happiness. Value your own life and happiness over money or things. Test out everything and see what works best for your business. Thanks to Flip D Script. Keep those reviews coming. We could highlight yours next.